Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dr. Wamalika, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Fine, thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you well. Can you hear me well?
Thank you. Yes, I can. I get you clear.
Lovely. We're talking about the millennium and the end of sin. That's the subject and the topic of discussion that we are having with you this week. Now, after the second coming of Christ, there's a 1,000-year time period called the millennium in which all the believers reside in heaven until Satan and sin is forever destroyed and the earth is renovated and made new again. So I want to know, what does it mean? How do we reign with Christ in heaven, and what else happens during the 1,000-year reign? And also want to talk about what happens to all the people who chose not to follow God. What about the problem of sin and all of those things we're going to be addressing? So first off, please talk to us, Pastor, about the events at the beginning of the millennium, beginning with the second advent. What happens there?
First of all, the word millennium means 1,000 years on our earthly counting. And it comes from a Latin word. It is mentioned in the Bible, and it is in a division. It is divided into three parts. There's the beginning of the millennium.
Yeah.
There is the during the millennium, and the close of the millennium. And this part of prediction has not yet happened. It is yet, we believe, is yet in the future, at least from our historical perspective.
Okay.
The things that happen at the, it is found in Revelation 20. It starts with the Christ returning at his second coming. Then the righteous rise in the first resurrection. Then in the second part, all sinful humans and institutions are destroyed. And then Satan is bound. That's the beginning part of the millennium.
Yeah.
Christ returns at his second coming. The righteous rise in the first resurrection. And all sinful humans and institutions are destroyed. And Satan is bound. Bound means he has nobody to deceive. Then during the 1,000 years, the redeemed will reign with Christ and judge with Christ 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That is what the Bible says, that during the millennium, the redeemed, the righteous will reign and judge with Christ 1,000 years. At the close of the millennium, the Bible says Satan is released and he masters the wicked around the beloved city and is destroyed. So Satan is released, and that means his character does not change, even with him being bound 1,000 years.
Yeah.
The character still remains. That's what the writer of Revelation wanted to tell us, that even the binding does not change him. Then at the close of the millennium, when he's released, he picks up from where he left to deceive. Then verse 6, the wicked rise in the second resurrection, followed by final judgment and the second death. These are biblical description, that at the end of the 1,000 years, the wicked will rise in the second resurrection. And that will be followed by final judgment and the second death. Finally, at the end of the millennium, the holy city will descend and the earth is renewed. The Bible speaks of the new heaven and the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
The word new in Greek is neon, does not mean new in chronology. It means the same old one, but made new in quality.
Mm.
So the earth will be the same one destroyed, but new in quality.
Mm.
The Bible calls it the new earth. Now, there are some interesting things that people may want to know.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean that during the millennium, the final judgment, that he says that the redeemed will reign and judge with Christ 1,000 years? When you hear that, you wonder, are we equal to Christ? What do we mean to judge? And sometimes people introduce here the picture of an earthly court in session.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what, when it says you will reign with Christ, we shall judge together with him. These are metaphors.
Yeah.
A metaphor is a statement that you don't take literally. It simply means
mm-hmm.
that we shall be exalted together with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall be sharing his hair, his privileges.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what it means by we shall judge. We shall judge together with him.
Oh.
And yes, mm-hmm. go ahead.
No, it's fine. So it's not the literal judging in the literal sense that we'll be looking at the books and we'll say, okay, this one goes that way, that one goes that. We're not making those kind of important decisions.
No, it will be declaring that God is just because, look, we chose to believe. So our salvation was by faith. The fallen angels chose to the other way.
Yeah.
So what they are getting is their rightful share.
Mm-hmm.
That is the vindication. We shall be vindicating God's name. It is not looking in. Yes, if you want to extend the metaphor,
yeah.
You can say, we shall be looking into the books to find out why so-and-so was not there,
mm-hmm.
why so-and-so is not there. But the reason why some will not be there are not different independent reasons. All the reasons why the redeemed and the wicked will perish together with the angels is just one, that from their heart they deliberately chose not to accept Christ.
Mm. Now, so go ahead. You were saying so.
So I'm saying that Christ has exalted us in his life, death, and resurrection. He has not only forgiven us, but he has made us to sit together with him on the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
He has exalted us. You remember John 3:16.
Mm.
God did the loving.
Yeah.
He so loved the world that he gave.
Yep.
But there's a second part which people don't know, that God gave his son, but the son gave out his title so that we shared his title together with him.
Mm.
Before resurrection, Christ is the only begotten son of God. But after resurrection, he surrendered that title to us.
Yep.
Now God has many sons and daughters in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall reign with him. We have been exalted beyond measure.
Mm.
That is the thing that is trying to bring.
Yep.
And when you go ahead, I want you to know that in the Bible, millennium is not a doctrine.
Okay.
We make it a doctrine mm-hmm. correctly because we are reacting towards some people who misunderstand it.
Mm.
It's more of a reactionary. But the emphasis is not the 1,000 years or the events. The emphasis is the person and the exaltation of God's people.
I see.
That is where the emphasis is, that we shall be exalted together with him and be given the privileges to judge together with him.
Mm. Is this 1,000 years a literal years?
There's a lot of discussion whether the 1,000 years are literal or symbolic. But the Bible does not, that's not the issue in the Bible. It is our own creation. Because the emphasis in the Bible is not the time frame. For example, when Christ spoke of the millennium, no, he didn't mention even the word millennium. He said, do not be amazed. For the Son, it's John chapter 5, verse 28. For the Son of Man will come, and all the dead will resurrect. Will hear his voice, and they will resurrect. Those who have done good, they will resurrect to eternal life. Those who have done evil, to damnation. When Christ described that, he did not factor in the 1,000 between the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Because if you die in 1960 and another one dies 1980, who is better off? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
The time factor is not very important. John mentions the time factor to help us our human conception. But what is important is that the righteous will resurrect and the dead will resurrect. So those 1,000 years, I believe they are literal.
Okay.
But for those who don't believe it is literal, may also have some questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, God does not need 1 billion years to do those events. Those events, he can do it even within a week or within a day.
Mm-hmm.
But he chooses that to help us conceptualize the reality of the second coming.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor, please do tell, of the 1,000 years, there's going to be a resurrection that is taking place. And then we'll be going to heaven. And then 1,000 years begin. Or is it all within the 1,000 years?
When Christ comes the second time, those, he said, the dead in Christ will hear his voice and come out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who are alive, righteous, will be translated and join the righteous dead to meet him in the clouds. But the living wicked will be struck dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the wicked who are already dead at that time would remain in the grave.
And so how long is that period?
Yes, go ahead.
And so how long is that period?
The period of the living being translated, it is an event that will take place at the coming of Christ.
So that's basically going to be happening on that day.
At that time, on that day. But then we shall all accompany him to heaven and return after 1,000 years. That's how the Bible puts it. So that means heaven is a transit point. Christ did not die so that we may go to heaven. He died so that we may inherit the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth, which we shall inherit at the end of the 1,000 years. But heaven will be a transit. You know the word transit. Mm. If you are flying to London, you land in Nairobi for a few minutes and then you continue. So what we are saying is the Bible makes it clear, first resurrection and the second resurrection. The second resurrection comes after 1,000 years. And the reason why it is coming there is to show us that the wicked dead and the Satan do not change in character. You had a question on the elimination of sin.
Mm.
How sin will be eliminated? That is a very big question.
Yeah.
How will sin be eliminated? We are talking of sin as a virus. We are not talking of Satan. You know, you can destroy Satan, but the virus still floats. So how will sin be eliminated? The sin, the only person who will carry away that virus to destruction is Christ himself. We find it symbolized in the sanctuary where during that the day when they were doing the final cleansing, there were two goats, and one was released into the desert. Some people have speculated that that goat is Satan, but it's called Azazel. But if you say it is Satan, it means Satan will have contributed towards salvation. So we believe that Christ, it is Christ who will carry out this virus. He will carry it to destruction. That's why he says, I have taken away your sin as far as east is to the west. And finally, John says, he saw Jesus coming in John 1 verse 29, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. That word taketh away the sin of the world. It means he will finally bear it and carry it away for final disposition. That's what I believe. So it is God only who has the power to dispose of it. Then it is God himself who goes ahead now to announce, there shall be no more sin. That announcement is made by God because it is God who has done the final disposition.
Interesting. So, Pastor, so the 1,000 years then finishes, and then those who are dead in sin resurrect at that time. And Satan, Satan begins to do his work of deceiving again.
Yes.
Until they are then finally destroyed. How long is that period?
Come again.
The period between the second resurrection and the final destruction of sin. Do we know that period, time period?
No. The period that we are given is the second coming to the third coming of Christ. That third coming is when after 1,000 years. But I believe that the rising of the wicked and the unbinding of Satan, and then the destruction of the wicked and Satan, and the taking away of sin, all will be events of the last events of the time.
I see.
Right. I do not. I don't see it separated. There are people who separate it, but I think it will be both at the same time, because Christ descends from heaven as a conqueror. His enemies are slain. Satan is bound, so he cannot deceive the nations. The redeemed sit on judgment thrones 1,000 years. It is that you are asking. Satan is released and deceives the nation. Christ resurrected, enemies are judged and slain, and the holy city descends from heaven, and it and the renewed earth are given to the believers who are the conquerors.
Well, interesting. Pastor, I got to let you go, but very briefly, you did mention earlier, you know, that we're not necessarily going to be judging in a literal sense, but that is used as a metaphor. However, we will then be saying, to confirm that his judgment is indeed truly just. Why is it important for the righteous to confirm to their eternal satisfaction that God's judgment is perfect? Why should that even be happening?
It is important because it is part of our testimony to the unfallen world. When we shall be making our testimony, when we shall be praising him, it will be part of our praise. When we shall be repeating the same words the children of Israel spoke when they came from Egypt, when Pharaoh and the army were destroyed. If you read those words, he says, now the enemy has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Pharaoh and his armies are gone. And then that's when God will be announcing, now there is no more sin. There shall be no more sin, no more death.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's important that that be announced, so that we are part of the testimony of the redeemed.
Beautiful. Well, Dr. Wamalika, thank you so much for your time and for joining us here on AWR. We're going to be connecting with you tomorrow again, same time and same place. For this afternoon,
amen.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.